This week, an anonymous colleague placed a copy of the Dallas Morning News on my desk and circled the article titled, "Can a Dallas Baptist Pastor Serve Both LGBTQ and Conservative Members?" Perhaps you know the news story I'm referring to. The article, of course, was referring to Senior Minister George Mason at Wilshire Baptist Church, the church where I proudly come from and where I was ordained. And this isn't the first time that Wilshire has been in the news. Just 2 years ago, as you may remember, they were the epicenter of the Ebola scare. While schools shut down and businesses evacuated, Wilshire continued to be church for the family of America's first Ebola patient. And the world watched as they bore witness to what it looks like to be the hands and feet of Christ amidst so much fear. The church didn't retreat from its moral responsibility to lead or show compassion, and those of us who were willing to learn from them, we learned. Well, Wilshire hit the news again this week after voting to grant full membership to the LGBT community, and this, of course, puts the church on a journey that's going to be challenging, and there's lots of healing to be done, George said. But there will be no modifiers of sexual orientation or gender identity ahead of being a sister or brother in Christ at Wilshire. Their welcome mat is out, they say, and it reads, "Open to all, closed to none." There's still a generous amount of members at Wilshire who don't agree with the change in policy, and surprisingly, some of them have chosen to stay despite their disagreement. The church is certainly not finished questioning and struggling about the issue, even though they voted to take a step in this particular direction. But as a whole, for all those who choose to remain a part of the church, they are dedicated to putting the faith first. They're willing to learn when they don't know all the answers and to love unconditionally even in their disagreement. What a powerful testament of what the church can be. Wilshire's certainly not the only church that has modeled love amidst disagreement. It was John Wesley, the father of Methodism, don't you know, who first said, "Though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike. May we not be of one heart, though we are not of one opinion. Without doubt we may. Herein all the children of God may unite, notwithstanding these smaller differences." Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In our New Testament text this morning, Paul writes to a church that was struggling to understand and embrace the gospel fully. They were used to a Gnostic understanding of the world where everything material was evil and God existed only in the spiritual realm. The world of God was not part of anything physical because to them, God had to remain impalpable and timeless. So when they heard the gospel, they were tempted to try and fit Jesus into their Gnostic understanding of the world, but that meant denying Jesus as the image of the invisible God and as the firstborn of all creation. You see, this is what we do when we're confronted with new ideas and new world constructs. We always take what's unfamiliar to us and try to fit it into our existing worldview. The problem is, Jesus doesn't fit into existing worldviews, whether they're Gnostic worldviews, capitalist worldviews, conservative worldviews, or liberal worldviews. You see, as Paul would say, worldviews begin with and are shaped by Jesus Christ, in whom all things are created, in whom all things are held together, and in whom all things are reconciled. We are transferred into a new kingdom ruled by Jesus Christ, who Colossians says is the firstborn of all creation. I think it's worth pausing here for a moment and spending some time on this phrase, the firstborn of all creation. Liturgically, this Sunday is known as Reign of Christ Sunday or Christ the King Sunday. It's the final week in the Christian liturgical calendar before we start all over again next Sunday with the first Sunday of Advent, which is New Year's Day according to the Christian tradition. But today, on this culminating Sunday, we recognize and proclaim that Christ is the King and that Christ has dominion over all things. But we should note that to say that Christ is the firstborn of all creation is to say something about the nature of Christ as king. Traditionally, as we know, kings usually ascend to their thrones by genetic inheritance. Kings are always descendants of a particular line of people. So to say that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation is to say that Jesus, who we claim as king, does not belong to a particular people, but to all people. I have to wonder this morning if this is our worldview. Do we believe that Jesus belongs to all people? Do we act as though Jesus belongs to all people? This is what I found so moving about the Testament of Wilshire this week. Yes, they agreed that LGBTQ people would be fully welcomed in their church, but they also agreed to continue to serve those who hold different opinions about human sexuality, because at the end of the day, Christ belongs to us all. It's futile to assume that our worldviews need to be alike in order to gather together in worship, because what binds us is not our opinions, but Christ. We should remember that Colossians is not an academic treaty, not a theological doctrine, but words spoken to a real church. It was a letter designed to help a struggling church embrace a new faith. It was and is for the church. Its intention is to cast a worldview under the lordship of Christ so that we might understand that Christ truly does belong to all things. The world we live in is socially dysfunctional. We saw it throughout this whole election season. Whether liberal or conservative, each thinks they have the solution and the other simply just needs to give in. The problem is, we have a common life to live that doesn't bow to the left or to the right. And the world doesn't have the vocabulary for what we have in common, only what we have in difference. So think about this for a moment. If the church claims that Christ is the firstborn of all creation, that all things have been created through Christ and for Christ, and that all things hold together in him, if this is our claim, and we cannot find a way to show forth our unity, who will the world turn to learn it? The hope of spiritual unity is not in human unity. Rather, the hope of human unity is in spiritual unity. We so easily get lost in arguing about our differences, whether they be personal or communal, but Paul offers us this clarifying piece of wisdom. Christ himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of all things. While we may not think alike, it is love for Christ and Christ's love for us that ultimately trumps any one idea or theological dispute. This is the Christ that we celebrate on this Sunday, the one who belongs to us all. As our communion liturgy powerfully evokes each week, one bread, one body, one cup. I was reminded earlier this week of the words President George W. Bush spoke in his first inaugural address after another one of our nation's hardest elections. He said, "Sometimes our differences run so deep, it seems we share a continent, but not a country. We do not accept this, and we will not allow it. Our unity, our union, are the serious work of leaders and citizens in every generation, and this is my solemn pledge. I will work to build a single nation of justice and opportunity." These words echo the words of Colossians. Let us not give up hope, and let us not give up on one another, for we all belong to the same God. Let's be the kind of church that puts faith first and knows how to love even when we disagree. Let's be the kind of community that doesn't seek to fit Jesus into our worldview, but lets Jesus shape our worldview. Hear it again. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. It's so beautiful, isn't it? And to think, this same Christ who rules over all things, whose power transcends all other powers, this same Christ who we hail as King this morning, is the same one who enters our world as a vulnerable and helpless child. But that's the Advent journey we begin next week. Amen.